I'm James Cochran, and I would ask that the chairman swear him in.
Sergeant Cochran, do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
State your full name for the record.
James E. Cochran.
And your age?
36.
And your occupation?
Correction sergeant.
And your level of education?
High school graduate with college attendance.
And have you taken courses at the community college?
Yes, I have.
And in what areas?
Penology, criminology, psychology, this type of thing.
Were you also in the service?
I was in the Marines for 3 years.
How long have you been in the Department of Corrections?
About 14 and a half years.
And how long have you been a sergeant?
A little over 2 years.
And how long have you worked at Attica over this period of 14 and a half years?
About 13 and a half years.
And did your father also work at Attica?
My father was the head correction clerk for about 10 years at Attica. He worked at Attica in several capacities for about 36 years.
And your father has now retired?
My father has recently retired.
Now, would you state what test you took in order to become a sergeant?
It was a civil service competitive exam.
And you became a sergeant when?
In March 4th, 1970.
Now, after you became a sergeant, were you then assigned to an open position in another institution?
To accept the position, I had to go to Woodburn facility, which at the time was a narcotics facility.
And how long did you work at Woodburn?
A little over 11 months.
And what other institutions have you worked at?
When I was originally appointed as a correction officer, I went to Greenhaven Correctional Facility. In November 7th, 1957, I was there for approximately 3.5 months, and then I was transferred to Attica.
Now, what training have you received from the Department of Corrections for your job?
When I was originally appointed in 1957, there was no training out of the institutions. The training I got was orientation and briefing in the institution when I originally arrived. On several occasions, I was sent to universities. One was St. Lawrence for about a week of lectures and this type of thing. Within the last year, I was sent to Matawan for supervisor's training.
Was that before the uprising?
Yes, that was before the uprising. I think it was in April of 71, April or May of 71.
And you say that you were sent to St. Lawrence for a week of training?
Yes.
Were you sent by the Department of Corrections?
Yes.
Is every corrections officer sent to such a program?
No, every correction officer is not sent to St. Lawrence.
Did you apply for that training?
I requested it.
And did the state pay for it?
Yes, the state did pay for it.
And what was the training therein?
Subjects relating to the correction field. Several eminent instructors instructed in phases of the law. Several correction department personnel talked about the problems that you run into in the institution, discussing the best way to handle these different situations, this type of thing.
Were you lectured to by any sociologists?
Yes, I was. I can't recall the gentleman's name.
But that was at this course?
That was at this course.
Could you give us an estimate of how many of the correction officers at Attica have attended courses such as that?
That particular course, I don't think too many attended. There were other training programs where a larger percentage of people were allowed to, were, you know, were given the opportunity to attend. There were...
How many took, in terms of how many people take advantage of the opportunity, would you say that a majority of the correction
this
officers...
This specific situation, going to St. Lawrence for 1 week, there was a very small percentage that went. Other training, there were larger percentages.
Now, when you say larger percentages, would it still be under a majority of the correction officers at Attica?
It would depend on degree. I think, especially recently, within the last few years, every correction officer is giving, within the institution, a certain amount of training, orientation, discussing, you know, this type of thing. But it's not extensive.
Now, Sergeant, as a sergeant in the institution, what are your duties?
My duties have been varied over the 2 years I've been in this position. At the present time, I'm the supervisor of C Block at Attica Correctional Facility.
How many men do you supervise?
From 15 to 35 officers, depending on the time of day, and in the area of 450 inmates.
And what shift do you work?
I'm assigned to the 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. shift.
And is that the time in which there is the maximum mobility of inmates in the institution?
Yes. Shortly after 7 o'clock in the morning, most of the population is released from their cells to attend breakfast.
And breakfast is a compulsory meal?
The 5 weekdays at present, it is compulsory if the man is able, if there are no medical reasons that, you know, would say that he could not go to breakfast.
Well, is the reason that there isn't as much mobility after the 3 p.m. Time as there is before, mm-hmm. because many inmates do not take supper at the institution?
You would be talking about 4 o'clock. This is normally the time the evening meal is served. Mm-hmm. At present, the evening meal is not mandatory.
And a number of inmates do not go to the evening meal?
The percentage drops. It's somewhere between half and three quarters, depending on the type of meal.
Do they post the menus early in the week?
Yes, the menus, from my understanding, the menus are out a week in advance.
And do you post them actually in your block?
I'm quite certain they are posted.
Now, you say that you supervise 15 to 35 correction officers and some 450 inmates?
Yes.
And what types of jobs do these correction officers whom you supervise have?
Well, the jobs are varied. Normally, when a correction officer comes in at 7 o'clock in the morning, he stands a roll call or lineup. At this roll call or lineup, he is given his assignment, his tentative day's assignment. Also, if there are any instructions that have to be relayed to the staff, this is the particular time when they are relayed to the staff. This would include instructions pertaining to day's operations for that particular day. Also, in the event that any regulations emanate from the commissioner's office or the superintendent's office, at this particular time they are relayed to the staff. In other words, the regulation would be read at roll call.
And after an assignment is given, what are the different types of assignments that the men who work for you have?
Okay. Speaking primarily of the 7 to 3 shift, I have in the area of 15 officers. 10 of those officers initially would be assigned to companies. They would be responsible, number one, when they immediately arrive in the block, of taking a count. In other words, they check each cell, make sure that the man is there and that he is all right. In addition, they take sick call. In other words, they check with the inmates and they are asked if they feel that they should be sent to the hospital for the doctor's attention. And then the count is turned in and It's verified. And approximately a quarter after 7, we begin running the companies to the mess hall.
Now, what do you mean by running a company to the mess hall?
An officer will supervise one company. A company can have as many as 41 or 42 inmates in it, and he accompanies these men to the mess hall. They line up in formation. They march to the mess hall in formation.
And it would be one correction officer to 42 men?
At present, this is the setup. One company, one correction
officer. Before the uprising, what was the ratio?
It was standard procedure in the morning prior to the riot for each officer to be assigned to two companies, which could be as many as 82 to 84 inmates. Occasionally, there were situations when the help was lower than normal for one reason or another, where an officer could be required to run as many as three companies. This was an isolated incident, but it did happen occasionally.
But the norm was?
It was normal standard procedure in the morning for each officer to run two companies to breakfast prior to the riot. It is not that way now,
but at
that time it was.
Which could mean as many as 84
Yes,
inmates.
It could. That's exactly what it was.
Now, you use the term company. Is company the term that's applied to the gallery where inmates' cells will be located?
Yes, it is.
And there are 42 cells in each gallery?
Depending on what block you're in, there's either 41 or 42 cells.
Now, do you have any say in where the inmates are housed, Sergeant?
No, I don't assign inmates to cells. No.
Who makes those assignments?
These assignments are normally made in the deputy superintendent's office. The assignment board certainly has influence in this. This is part of their job.
Now, could you also tell us how many shifts there are at Attica?
At present?
Yes.
At present, there are 5 shifts at Attica.
How many hours does each man work on a shift?
An 8-hour shift is the standard work day at Attica.
Now, do you have the figures for how many correction officers are presently assigned to Attica?
I can't give you exact figures, but I can estimate fairly close. How do you want this now, before or after the disturbance?
Well, why don't you give me the number of correction officers assigned to Attica September 9 and those after.
You want to go by shifts or by peak times?
Could you give me the total number, or you can
yes.
do it any way you want?
Right.
What was the total
okay,
number?
Okay, from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning prior to the disturbance, approximately 90 officers would be on duty.
What about today?
Today, it's approximately 100.
Now, on the next shift, because there are overlapping shifts.
Yeah, I was going by peak times to give you the number
I like
of officers.
The peak times.
Between 8 and 9, it goes to 110. We have a small 8 to 4 shift, but most of these officers on the 8 to 4 shift are assigned to the construction crew. There's a great deal of construction in progress at Attica right now, and it requires officers to work with these people.
So there are 110 today, and what?
Between 8 and 9.
And what was the number pre-September 9?
Approximately the same.
110?
Right. Between 9 and 3, which is the big period in the heart of the day, approximately 150 officers prior to the disturbance.
And today?
Today, there's approximately 160.
Now, let's stop for a moment. Today, there are roughly half the number of inmates at Attica that there were prior to September 9. Am I correct?
I think the figure is somewhere around 1,200 before there were about 23. It's about that, yes.
And you now have more correction officers assigned for lesser men than before the disturbance.
That is correct.
Now, how many blocks, incidentally, cell blocks are now open?
In operation at this time, we have 2 blocks in operation, A and C. and also E block, which is a smaller block.
And B and D are...
B and D at this time are not operable.
Now, to supervise these correction officers, do you know how many sergeants there are presently at Attica?
Presently, I think the figure is 19 or 20 sergeants.
And how many sergeants were there on September 9?
There were 9 on, or 10 on the payroll.
And when you say on the payroll, some of them were not working?
I'm not sure, but I think one or two were off sick.
There were 10 sergeants for 2,200.
10 sergeants were working at Attica at that particular time. They were assigned to Attica.
And above the rank of sergeant, how many correction officers were there?
You're talking about lieutenants? And
yes, sir.
Before the disturbance, I'm not sure on lieutenants. It was 4 or 5 items for the institution, but I don't think we had 4 or 5 working. I think some of them were off sick. Captains, there was one captain before, and there is still one captain. Before, there was one deputy or assistant deputy superintendent. Today, there is none. There was also a deputy superintendent, one. Today, there is one. There was one superintendent. There is also one superintendent today. So above the rank of lieutenant, right now, actually, there is one less than they had before.
Now, Sergeant, you wear a uniform at work?
Yes, I do.
Do you carry any arms?
No, I don't.
Do you carry a nightstick?
No, I don't.
Do the men under you carry any arms?
They are required to carry a standard nightstick.
Do any of them carry any firearms?
Absolutely not.
And when you say they're required to carry a standard nightstick, they're required by whom?
This is the Department of Correction regulation.
And all of the correction officers would be uniformed in a blue type of uniform?
Yes.
Now, how does a correction officer get his assignment? I'm not talking about when he lines up in the morning, but how does he get the assignment as to whether he is going to work on the walls or whether he's going to work on a night shift or whether he's going to work...
You mean on a steady basis?
Yes, sir.
A more or less steady assignment? At the present time, they have a bidding system, which was put into effect by our local union. In other words, an office, a job opens up, it is vacant, and an officer can bid on this job. The man with the most seniority normally would be given this assignment.
And this bidding system came in on April 1, 1970, when the union contract... first union contract was negotiated and signed?
This is my understanding. Right.
Now, this means that an experienced officer can request transfers of positions as they open.
Any officer can bid on a job, but normally the man with the most seniority that actually bid on the job would be given the assignment.
Well, has there been a pattern in assignments and since this system came in?
The pattern would be that the man with the most seniority would get the job.
And have the men with the most seniority, your most experienced correction officers, applied for particular types of jobs and changes?
I couldn't say specifically if most men in this group fell into this category, but there has been occasion where experienced officers bid on jobs that took them out of the main population in the institution.
In fact, correction officers who work at night are paid a premium, am I correct?
At the present time, they are paid a premium, right, for the 2-night shifts.
And that's the time that you have the least contact with the inmates, right, since they're sleeping.
That's right. At present time, your 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift, very seldom would be involved with any inmates out of their cell. Your 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. shift would be involved with inmates out of their cells up to approximately 5:30, the general population. After that, we have a farm gang that is out.
Has there been any concern among the supervisors about the effect of this system under which your experienced officers
What this does, in effect, one of the consequences of it is that your experienced officers, when they leave the general population, they are no longer effective to you in the general population where they come in contact with the inmates day in and day out. In other words, you lose a certain percentage of your experience every time one of these men removes himself from the general population.
Now, what is the salary range for a correction officer?
The salary range prior to April 1 was $86.59 starting pay for a correction officer, and after 15 years on the job, his salary went to $10,873. A sergeant started at $10,255. After 15 years, his salary would rise to $12,775. A lieutenant started at $12,103, and after 15 years, rose to a salary of $15,013.
Do you find that many correction officers supplement their income by taking other jobs and
work? Yes, I do. Many correction officers are forced to supplement their income.
You yourself engaged in some additional occupation for a period?
Earlier in my career, I did supplement my income.
You noted that these figures were for before April. There's a new union contract which was...
Tentative. As soon as it's ratified and the legislature approves it, from my understanding, then it will go into effect.
And do you know what the percentage increase that brings about, roughly?
I'm not sure the exact percentage. I think they mentioned 4%.
Now, when you became a correction officer, what were the actual qualifications to become a correction officer?
When I took the exam in 1957, I recall the flyer saying that supervisory experience was required, and the way I qualified for this was with my time in the service.
Were you a sergeant in the Marines? Or?
Yes. In addition, there were certain physical requirements. Your eyesight had to reach a certain level. I think you had to be 5'9 and weigh approximately 160 pounds. You had to be of sterling character, this type of thing. You had to take a fairly difficult civil service exam. And if you passed this exam and qualified in all other areas, your name was entered on a list. And depending on how high a mark you had would depend on how high you were on this list. And as the openings developed, the men would be drawn from this list and given assignments in different institutions in the state. And it was, normally it would not be at your home institution.
How have these qualifications changed?
I've only taken one correction officer exam, so I don't know as far as exam difficulty. I think the physical qualifications have lessened slightly. I think you can be a little bit shorter and a little bit lighter now. I think that moral qualifications, I think that they have eased up a little bit. Now, I can't give you specifics on this,
mm-hmm.
but I think that they have.
You talked about the fact you had to be of sterling character. That meant that you could not work in the institution
record,
if you had a criminal record.
That's right. That is correct.
And was it your recollection that you couldn't even have moving traffic violations? Or
No. I don't think that was my recollection at that time.
But
this is possible, but it was not my recollection.
I thought you had mentioned it to me earlier. That's why I asked. But in any event, you could not have an arrest record?
Yes, I'm quite certain of this.
And now, you said that after you took these exams, you would be put on a list.
That is correct.
And do you recall what the size of the list was when you applaud?
That's a tough one, but it was quite extensive. It was.
These are sought-after jobs?
Yes and no. It depends on the individual, whether he, you know, wants to get involved in this type of situation.
Is the list today a long one?
I don't know. They do it a little bit differently today. Today, the exam centers have changed. And today, I have to say honestly, I'm not sure just how they tap people to be correction officers.
Now, have you been instructed by the department on what is the function of a correction officer?
I feel that I have been instructed by the department, not a comprehensive type of thing where I went to 2 or 3 months training. I understand there are plans in this direction now, but when I came into the department in 1957, this was not the case. You would get general orientation. At that time, you learned by experience. Your older officers, most of my training, in all honesty, came from experienced correction officers at the time.
And what do you consider the function of a correction officer to be?
Well, basically, when an officer takes this job and enters an institution, he's responsible for the behavior and the general welfare of the inmates in the group that he is assigned to. Basically, these are his responsibilities. He's also responsible for the safety of these individuals. He's also responsible for general security and general order. These are basically the requirements of a correction officer, generally speaking.
Now, you used the word general welfare of the inmates.
Yes,
what do
I
you
did.
Mean by that term?
General welfare can include anything from medical problems, emotional problems. It can include safety, not only falling down in a gallery or something like this, but safety from other inmates.
And do you find in your work that many inmates have emotional problems?
I can't by degree say many. But I can say in my years in the department that I have run into inmates who I felt had emotional problems, but I am not qualified to say actually that they had emotional problems. If I felt that they had, I would refer them to the psychiatric department, and they would make the final determination.
Now, you haven't been trained really in this field.
No, I have not.
There's no training given by the correction department.
I haven't had this particular type of training, no. Other than, you know, observing unnormal behavior, this type of thing.
What do you conceive of the function of a correction officer toward inmates who do not manifest?